gotta learn to keep your head up high. The reason I can tell you that tonight, because one Tuesday evening I had a talk with Jesus and he promised me, that I've learned
how to depend on Jesus, how to trust in Him.
So glad I've learned,
yeah, how to depend on
Jesus. Let me ask y'all
Jesus.
Something. Anybody here learn how to put all your trust in Him? Can I take a little time and tell you how I learned to do it? I picked up my Bible and I went to Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, round about the 5th and the 6th verse, where it told me to trust in the Lord with all my heart, lean not to my own understanding, but in all my ways I had to learn to acknowledge Jesus Christ. And I wonder, can I get a witness in this building when I say, won't God step in and direct your path tonight? Can I get a witness in this building? Anybody here learn how to depend on Jesus? Somebody here depending on Him. Somebody here learn how to put all your trust in it tonight. And
are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Amen. In all the earth, it means that no matter which continent you find yourself on, there ain't one like Jesus. I wonder if there's anybody that's found that out in your own life. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. For this we give Him praise. Amen. Amen. In the book of Luke, and y'all, I apologize. I know I told you that I was through with this prodigal son, but I keep finding myself back in Luke chapter 15. And the Lord just keeps revealing things about this parable, amen, that I believe will be a blessing to His people. Luke chapter 15, and since we've read it at least 5 times, I know we're not going to read all of it. I just want you to read with me the 17th verse, for that verse will be the focal verse of our sermonic text on today. Luke chapter 15 and verse 17. And let me say this by way of announcement. We're looking for someone to take charge of our nursery. And there is a small stipend available for you. Amen. If we can get somebody who is gifted in that area, qualified in that area. I mean, we may even have to run a background check on you, whatever we have to do. But we desperately need someone to work in our nursery. If you're interested, let me know. Amen. Luke chapter 15 and verse 17, and there you will find these words. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I want to speak into you're hearing this morning by way of a subject, a turning point. Amen. A turning point. A turning point. Thank you, ushers. So unsettled is this youngest son in his father's house that one day he asked for his share of the estate. And rather than grow to be able to manage what he had asked for and mature and develop the character to make wise decisions with what he would inherit, he decided that he wanted it all, and I want it all right now. And he knows that once this request is made, that he won't be able to manage this kind of recklessness while still living in his father's house. He knows that he can't live wild and free and stay in the father's house at the same time, so he set out on his journey. Now, it's quite interesting that we have hardly any description of what he did while he was away, other than that revelation, that mere revelation, that he went to a far country and there wasted his wealth in riotous, wild living. Apparently, the far country challenged the things he was taught while in the father's house. Apparently, the far country tempted him to play on the edges of life. The far country cost him high payments of compromise and moral allowances, so much so that the wealth that he left the father's house with was wasted in the far country. His life sank so low that one day, while his belly was aching with hunger and his mind was filled with regrets and his moral account was severely overdrawn, that this distance from the father started eating him up on the inside. Tell your neighbor, on the inside. When all the money was gone, when all the fun was over, when the freeloaders had moved on to the next victim of an unsettled life, he saw pigs feeding. And he knew his life had reached its lowest level when he considered eating pig feed in order to satisfy his excruciatingly painful hunger. And when he got ready to make his move to compete with pigs over food forbidden by any conscientious Jew, we get the blessed words of our focal text for today. The Bible says, and he came to his senses. I wonder how long it took for him to spend it all. I wonder how many other allowances he made to feed his other personal indulgences that led him to not even respect his own Jewish heritage or background. I wonder why there is no commentary about the length of his wandering season. But maybe I shouldn't wonder about that at all, because I believe I have some witnesses today who know that any second, any minute away from the Father is too dangerous a risk to take at all. Do I have a witness today? I guess it really doesn't matter, because whatever length of time it took to get to the far country and to waste it all, it's still not too late to surrender to the aha moment that makes you want to get up and go back to the Father's house. The only line we're given before we travel with him back home is this: and then he came to his senses. The Father doesn't send someone for him. No one in the far country grabbed him and accepted responsibility for his restoration. The only commentary we're given is that he comes to himself, or he comes to his senses. And don't we all need to understand what that means? Because the truth of the matter is this, that each of our lives are peppered with seasons of distance from the Father. Do I have a witness today? Come on, how many folk, real folk, are in the house who can admit that we all have experienced seasons where we prefer wandering over worshiping? Seasons where we prefer recklessness over righteousness. Oh, I see a lot of halos in the place, but I'm going to find you by the end of this message. seasons where we stop caring about focusing on our moral compass. And this text reminds us of the results that come with this kind of twisted thinking. This text reveals to us that the results of that kind of thinking, there it is, he lost it all. Do I have a witness today? But the good news of the text is this, that with all that he lost, God did not let him lose his life. And the blessed announcement that I want to make this Sunday morning is this, that at the end of the day, even after having almost lost it all, he had exactly the one thing that he needed to get back home. And he later carried the conviction that only these kinds of experiences can teach us. And it is this, that nothing you possess and nothing you will potentially lose will prevent you from living a great life in the future as long as God gives you the gift of life itself. Oh, somebody knows what I'm talking about. I don't care how much you have lost any day prior to today. If you wake up tomorrow, I can't get no help in here. The fact that you are alive means that it can be recovered, it can be restored, it can be rebuilt, it can be reconstituted, it can be reframed, it can be reignited, it can be revived, and it can be resuscitated. Is there anybody in here that's willing to say, I thank God for the gift of life? Somebody just missed their shout. My brothers and sisters, don't ever equate the loss of anything tangible, transitory, superficial, or temporal as being equivalent to the loss of life itself. Hear me when I tell you that if God spared your life, then you have enough to start over again. Tell your neighbor you can rebuild from the bottom if you have to, if God gives you the gift of life. And someone in here knows what I'm talking about, because I just believe in my sanctified imagination that there are at least 15 people in here who can testify that you lost almost everything. But when you got up the next morning, the fact that you had breath proved what the Bible says, and that is that weeping may endure. But just let me get to the morning. The fact that you had breath, amen. So this youngest son was gifted. He was blessed. Watch this. On that day of our text, that was a blessed day for him because he looked at pig's feed as he felt hunger pains and had memories that he wished he could erase. He experienced a turning point. He said, let me get up from here and go on back to my father's house. And that's what I want to announce to every drifting life in the sanctuary today, that God will always leave you with the chance to turn things around. A bend in the road, a change in your narrative, a chance to write a new chapter, a transition point, the gift of a new season for everyone who decides that they want a new season. And whether it's brought on by grace or repentance, tragedy or loss, whatever the tool or instrument that God decides to use, I want to suggest to you today that it's all a gift from God. Whether he pricks your conscience regarding something or whether he pushes your face in the mirror and makes you look at the ugliness that is you, or if he makes you experience something that you wish you could avoid, whatever it is a gift from God to you to help you accept a turnaround. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. I'm so grateful that God won't let me keep traveling in the wrong direction. Oh, I know I got some folk in here. Oh, you on that wrong road, you on that wrong path, and you got friends that died, you got friends that are in prison and in jail, but you're here shouting on this Sunday morning because God gave you a turning point. I wonder if I have a witness here today. So we've got to be grateful. Because what God does is he factors these turning points into our wondering and makes sure that whenever we come to our senses, that there's an easy access point for us to get off and go on to a new future. No matter how far down the road you've wandered, whenever you decide to get off, God puts an exit sign. All you got to do is have enough wisdom. All you've got to do is have enough inside of you that gives you enough sense to take the exit that God gives. Tell your neighbor, it's a gift. It's a gift. Don't you let the enemy make you believe that where you are and what you've done and what you've lost and how many victims there are, or the recklessness which you have lived, or the mistakes that you have made, means that you are done and finished. It's not over as long as you're still living. I'm talking to somebody today. If you've got breath, you still got a chance. I'm talking to somebody today. If you've got breath, you still have opportunity. Y'all help me preach this message. Tell your neighbor, if it's not fatal, then it's not final. Tell that other neighbor, if you can look up, then baby, you can get up. Come on and give him praise in this place. Now, you may never regain the respect of some people, but you can always be reclaimed by God. You may never convince some folk that you've changed, but God will prove to the world that you've been converted. Do I have a witness? Some folk might not want you, you know, in their club, but thank God they can't keep you out of the kingdom. Oh, I know I got a witness today. They may not give you a desk, but they can't block your eternal gift. A gift of grace. And the grace is that I almost lost everything, but I still have my thinking. It may be a little twisted, but God's grace is that he gave me enough thinking so that on the one side, I'm thinking about pushing these pigs out of the way so I can get their food. But thank God he left me with enough sense to look to the other side. The other side is I'm remembering that I've got a father and I can go back home. I wonder if I have a witness. Thank God for a turning point. Come on, give him praise for a turning point. All of us can appreciate this word because if we're honest, all of us from time to time ask ourselves, how did I get so far away from my daddy's house? What happened to my ironclad devotion? What happened to my convictions, my worship, my prayer, my excitement, the sharing of my faith? How is it that I used to want to come to worship, but now it feels like an obligation? Anybody know what I'm talking about? How is it that I used to come to worship and enjoy clapping my hands and singing and listening to the word, but now it's monotonous to me? How did things I used to detest become things that I now crave? When did I stop standing guard over my convictions? When did I allow my unsettledness to make me want to distance myself from my father? And I come today to say you've got to learn how to thank God for your crashes along the way. Because, y'all, this boy was blessed in his daddy's house. He had it made in the shade in his daddy's house. He went out there on his own, and he hit rock bottom. Amen. Not yet, Bro Palmer. He hit rock bottom. He crashed. And I know there's some folk, amen, Reverend Green said he'd been there. I know he's not the only one that went out there on your own and you hit rock bottom. But what I want to do today is I want to give you a word that will cause you to leave here thanking God for your rock bottom moments. I want somebody to leave here today understanding that those rock bottom moments were a gift from God. Tell your neighbor that they are a gift from God. Thank God for the crash. Thank God that he allowed me to venture to the far country and waste it all. Sometimes God waits for some stuff to die before he moves us to where he's destined us to be. There's a true story of the now ex-boxer Oscar De La Hoya. Some years ago now, De La Hoya was on the freeway in Los Angeles in his brand new Mercedes. He loved his Mercedes. He cherished his Mercedes. He was stopped in traffic and he was trying to make an important phone call. He couldn't get a signal, so he got out of the car and walked a little bit away from the car, amen, trying to get a signal. but he discovered that his phone had died. He heard a loud crash, and when he looked back, he discovered that someone had hit and totaled out his car. He was giving the interview afterwards and said, if my phone hadn't died, I wouldn't have gotten out of my car. And if I hadn't gotten out of my car, I would have been injured or possibly killed. But because his phone died, he lived to tell the story. He concluded the interview by saying, I'm glad my phone died. And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, God allows some stuff to die in our life because he knows what's coming down the road. Do I have a witness today? Often, in order to get us where he wants us to be, God allows some stuff. He allows some situations. He allows some relationships to die so that he can move us to where we ought to be. This boy would testify that the crash put me in a place where God could save my life. Because if I hadn't run out of money, if I hadn't run out of food, if I hadn't run out of friends, I might have run out of time. But because I ran out of money and friends and food, God gave me a chance to not run out of time. So when I look back, I've got to thank God. Thank him that the money ran out. Thank him that the friends forsook me. Thank him that the food was gone. Thank him that the doors closed and the mistakes became multiplied, because it was then that I came to my senses. Is there anybody up in here that's not ashamed to praise God for your crashes along the way? Because now when you look back over your life, you realize that if you hadn't had that crash, if you hadn't hit rock bottom, you probably wouldn't be in the church today. Come on and give him praise. So one of the greatest gifts that God gives to us is allowing some things to fall apart that we wanted to stay together. One of the greatest gifts, my brothers and sisters, God gave you was to slam a door in your face that you wished would have stayed open. One of the greatest gifts that God gave you was to say no to something that you were begging him to say yes to. Because it was that crash that turned your life right side up. If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he could solve them. If I never had any storms in my life, I wouldn't know the power that God has to make a way out of no way, to open doors where there are no, to heal my body when doctors said there was nothing that could be done. I wish I could get one or two folk to give God praise for giving you a turning point. So watch this. When you start listing how God has blessed you, don't exclude from that list the things that God has taken from you. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Amen, amen. When you start listing, you know, you got a catalog of the blessings, and we like to list, amen, the material, tangible stuff. Amen. But I come by to tell you today that when you start listing your blessings, don't exclude from that list the relationships that God let fall apart. Amen. So you wouldn't lose your life. Thank God he let it run out. Thank God he made some friends run away. Thank God he let some things dissipate. Thank God that my heart was broken. Thank God that he let some things dry up, because my comeback started when the bottom fell out. Give him praise up in here. Don't ignore your crashes. Don't close your eyes when it gets dark. Don't assume that there are no blessings in bottomed-out places, because often God orchestrates the blessings of bottomed-out places so that you can put your hands on the gift of a turning point. Give him praise in this place. Now I want to move from the introduction and give you just 2 points. Thank God for turning points. But I want to share with you today how, first of all, how a turning point begins. When you accept that your answer, watch this, is in you and not outside of you. When turning point, amen. Turning points happen when you accept the reality, amen, that what you need is not out there somewhere, but it's right inside of you. Y'all, this youngest son's conversion from the wild and free and reckless season was not pushed or spurned by a positive reversal of his financial condition, nor was it brought on by the reemergence of those freeloaders. But what he was stuck with, watch this, was his own thoughts. He was in a pig pen by himself, and all he had was his own thoughts. No one came from the father's house to the far country to retrieve him. None of the freeloaders were around to push him home. He had no money to get home on his own. He was in the lowest place he'd ever been. And the only thing he could do was to deal with his own inner reality. And as he looked, watch this, inside himself, he started telling himself that living reckless and wild had made him forget that I've got a father. The relationship with him might be strained. I might be a wandering son. I might be a sinning son. I might even be a wicked son. But thank God I'm still a son. And I still remember how to get back home. And because of that, he stepped onto the path to his turning point as he found the answers inside of himself. Some of y'all running around here depressed, talking about you ain't got nobody, suicidal because somebody walked out on you, talking about they left you by yourself. Amen. But just maybe by yourself is where God wants you to be. Because maybe, just maybe, you don't need no fortune teller. You don't need no palm reader. You don't need no seer. You don't even need your, amen, holier than thou friends who think they know all of the Bible. All that you need is right inside of yourself. Do I have a witness today? I'm only pushing this because I bet there are more of us in the sanctuary than not who believe that the only way for your situation to change is if your conditions change, or something positive has to happen, or something has to push me to a higher trajectory. But let me tell you that there is nothing on the outside that is more powerful than that which is on the inside of you to push you to a powerful change. Y'all mighty quiet. I'm wondering if you believe you got something in you. Y'all looking all confused and dazed. Are you oblivious to what's supposed to be in you? Well, maybe I just got it. Maybe I thought you had something in you. Maybe, amen, I thought that just because you were at church on Sunday with your Bible open and you look like you're listening, maybe, amen, I got it twisted that you got. Is there anybody in here who will testify that I've got some Holy Ghost in me? Amen. I may not be everything I ought to be. I'm not everything I want to be. But one thing I know, God has given me the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if you walk out on me, if you leave me, if you turn your, as long as I've, because of the change inside of me. No new job. No better paying job. No new relationship, no change of geographical location. None of that is as important as the change that God wants to make inside of you. No phone call, no apology, no change of fortune, no shift is as important to usher you to your turning point than coming to your senses and finding the answer inside of you. You know, y'all ain't gonna like this, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Stop blaming other people. Some of y'all even blame other folk when the praise ain't right. Look at your praise. Some of y'all even blame other folk. Amen. Talking about he ain't saying nothing that ain't ministering to me. Amen. And you know it is. You know it. You know it's meeting the need in your spirit. But you want to act so saved and sanctified and sanctimonious like.